You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are here in our sunny Coco studio in Florida, right here, having a great time. I swear, sometimes the discussions before the show is better than the show. My co-host today is my friend Samantha Nazario, and my in-studio guest is Dr. Amasita Maloon Gibson, who is going to be talking later about a lot of stuff. I love her wisdom. I love her charm. I love her integrity. And I learned so much from her, her being a veteran, a coach, everything else all wrapped up in one. Yes. So, Samantha, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me again, Zita. Always a pleasure.
And, you know, we do have our listeners who can tune in online.
Yes. All our shows can be downloaded at Zita Media, Inc.
That's right. And Paul, where can they listen to if they were listening live?
Well, they can listen here on 1510 AM up and down Central Florida from Daytona all the way to West Palm Beach on our AM signal 1510. Heard locally here, 99.9 here, our sticks right in the backyard. 94.7 Central Brevard County and 100.7 covering everything south.
Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
What I like about our show is we show up here and it's almost like an extension of my living room. It's almost as if I own this little spot here for an hour every Monday where my friends and I can meet and converse and communicate with each other and talk about issues that are going on around the state right here in Brevard County, Florida, and around the nation as well. And it feels good because if I were to have these kind of conversations in my home, I don't think my husband would like it very much. So, Paul, thank you for giving me an opportunity because freedom of speech does come with a responsibility. And I don't know how many times I've had to tell people this in the last few days after they were talking about social media and who got banned and who's not banned. Hey, social media itself is not your right. It's a privilege. And if you're going to go on there and write stuff about people who are black and brown or people who are Muslim, Hindu, Christian, whatever, and you're going to incite hate and fear and racism and bigotry and God knows what, then they have a right to take you off. Because honestly, most of us, almost everyone I know, wake up every day and thank God for breath.
Absolutely.
And we say our prayers before we go to bed. And some people have a problem with faith. I don't. And I wear it proudly. And we wake up the next day and we say, Lord, what can we do to make this world a better place today? Because I didn't know something yesterday and I learned about it. And thank you for giving me that wisdom and that knowledge, right? And then some people wake up and they say, well, what can I do to incite violence and spread hate today? Well, guess what? You have a right to be taken off of social media. Because
absolutely.
That's not what the good Lord gave you a voice for, right?
Yes.
Would you agree?
That's right.
Dr. Gibson, would you agree? And you always say... Right. And but freedom of speech, like when I took this job here at the station, this hour of broadcasting, you know, one of the things that Paul said to me was, you have to remember that I have a lot of listeners who are Christians. You can't come on this station and bash Christian people, right? I'm a Hindu, but I went to Christian schools. And I respect that I got an opportunity, right? So I appreciate it. And so once or twice he's had to say, hey, something, and I checked up, just like I do on Facebook. So if Facebook sends you a warning, guess what? You're supposed to pay attention. They're warning you for a reason. something you posted or something you said was probably upsetting to someone else. So those who incite violence, those who continue to incite violence, those who say things and understand, they don't want to understand that their words and their actions affect other people, they need to check themselves. And here, and Paul says that's right. So, you know, I met this friend, and he's trying to make a difference in the world. His name is Mr. Asher Edelson, and he is calling in today from Vermont. And I talk a lot about disability rights and staying engaged in politics year-round. And one of the things I notice with people is there is a lot of inequalities that exist in our nation against people, whether it's people of color, whether it's people who are poor, whether it's people who have a disability. But somehow, somewhere, some of us were blessed to have a voice, and we woke up one day and said, aha, I'm going to use my voice to help others. And Asher is one of those, and he's on the phone, and I'm going to ask him to say hello to our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and tell us a little bit about himself. So, Asher, thank you. I hope I'm saying your name correctly.
You absolutely are, and it's so wonderful to be on this show. I hope everyone will be able to hear me through not only my Tourette, although I will say the Vermont cell service is not all that great, so hopefully y'all will be able to hear me. I'm really happy to be here today, happy to be sharing my perspective. I'm a person living with Tourette syndrome, living it up here in Bennington, Vermont. I love living here. I actually grew up in Tampa, Florida, which is on the other side of the state from where you are right now. And I have a variety of hats. I work, my day job, I work as a residential counselor for a subacute program for children. I'm the vice chair of the Bennington Town Democratic Party, a member of the SRC board here in Vermont. That's the State Rehabilitation Council, or committee, I forget which one. Either way, that is the board that, you know, oversees and assists the state voc rehab. So we talk about a lot of different disability-related issues. Additionally, I am a candidate for the Southwest Vermont Regional Technical School District Board. It's a mouthful.
And, you got it in, and Samantha is smiling because we were like, let's see if he gets it all in.
Absolutely. For short, you could just say the Tech Board or the Technical School Board. I'm a candidate for that now, and there's a town meeting election coming up that I'm excited to be a part of, and I'm really happy to be on the air with you all today, and I'm looking forward to answering whatever wonderful questions come my way.
Yeah. So, you know, you we always learn something from Viewpoint with Sita and Friends when our guests called in. And being a nurse, I remember learning about Tourette syndrome in school, and we've had patients with it. And you gave me such a refresher course when you wrote, you know, about your disability. So for our listening audience, for people who are listening, can you give us a quick, brief tell our listening audience in your words what Tourette syndrome is?
It would be my pleasure. So, Tourette syndrome is a neurological disability. I would characterize it as being somewhere between compulsory and involuntary. And when I say that, I mean that Tourette syndrome is a tick disability, not to be confused with the blood-sucking arachnids, although these ticks are equally terrible. It's spelled T-I-C, unlike the arachnid, and these ticks can either be motor ticks, which are movements, twitches, anything physical, or they can be vocal.
Yes.
I guess it's somewhat physical, too, although those are more like, you know, sounds, noises, and of course the very popularized swearing tick, which is rather rare.
Right.
Although you mainly have your motor and your vocal tics, there are mental tics as well, and Tourette syndrome is often times not always, but oftentimes connected to another disability. In other words, people who have Tourette's might also have ADD, or in my case, OCD, or something else. So it's definitely a challenge for people who have more severe cases, although it's definitely a disability that deserves more attention, and I'm really glad to be sharing information about it with you and your listeners today.
Yeah, and I know they can be simple, or they can be complex as well, the tics.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I'm glad that we're taking the time today to talk about this, because, you know, people see others, like, out in the supermarket or when they're in our aircraft or maybe just everywhere, and they don't understand that education is such an awesome thing when you take the time to learn about others and their disability. And, yes, we do have some wonderful questions for you. My co-host Samantha is going to look and see if she can think about one to ask.
What are your thoughts on disability rights in our country?
Well, that's a big question. I think they need more attention, for one. Disability rights and justice are oftentimes on the back burner, oftentimes left behind, oftentimes forgotten about, and that's unfortunate because people with disabilities, whether those disabilities are neurological, mental, physical, developmental, or otherwise, we make up such a massive portion of the population, not just in Florida and Vermont, but across the country. It's unfortunate that we don't have as many conversations about this important civil rights issue as we should. Slowly but surely, we're seeing more representation. We have people like New York public advocate Jumaane Williams, who has Tourette. We have people like Senator Tammy Duckworth from Illinois, wonderful people who are representing the disability community and pushing these issues, especially when they're intersectional. That's very important. There's a lot to be said about the issue, quite frankly. You know, you have the transit issue to consider. You have ADA accessible housing. Educational equity is absolutely an issue. You know, that's one that I'm going to be looking more so, looking at more so as I continue with my school board run. And, you know, you just have so many issues. You have health care, ADA compliance in buildings and zoning laws, protecting people with disabilities. You have the representation issue for sure. And then you have other outlying issues that affect people with disabilities, one of which right now is the COVID response relief bill that's being talked about in D.C. And I'm really, really excited.
Yes, and you know, we all watched during this campaign where our president, Joe Biden, spoke about having a stuttering disability as a young child. And how, you know, he understood when others would make fun of him. He understood how sometimes you would have to stop and you stutter and you can't get the word out. And I think all of that he is going to take into consideration when he legislates for people with disabilities.
That's absolutely right. And one thing that I've noticed that he and his team seem to be passionate about, and I hope they have success, is in ending the sub-minimum wage. And I believe there's a few states, at least, that have already done away with this practice. It's abysmal, unfortunate, and I'm glad that President Biden is paying attention not only to disability issues as a whole, which is fantastic, but also specific, like the sub-minimum wage being ended. So I'm very optimistic for the future.
Yeah, I don't think people understand when you have a speech impairment how that affects your life, because sometimes you just can't get the word out. It makes such a difference if you're trying to buy something or you're trying to, you know, you're at the DMV or you're in a restaurant and other people. I don't think we teach enough compassion in our homes for people to understand that you don't make fun of somebody. You go up to them and say, "How can I help you?" you know?
That's a lack of education and diversity and inclusion.
Right. And it's we see it all the time, right?
Yes, I do. As a mother of a son that was diagnosed at 3 with obsessive compulsive disorder, I completely understand your struggle in life, Asher. He's 21, and we still have these moments where I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? But we have a viewer question for you here today, Asher, and it's, what role do you think civility should play in modern politics?
I will begin answering that question by touching on a point already brought up. Yes, Joe Biden's stutter at disability was absolutely an adversity for him to overcome. And I will say that Tourette, depending on the symptoms, can provide very similar challenges when trying to get your point across. I mean, I'm fortunate right now that my Tourette's aren't interrupting me as much as they normally might.
But that's okay. You know what? It just shows us your character. What an awesome human being you are that you're taking the time to call in, even though you knew this might happen. So for us, you're a gift. So just keep talking.
Thank you so much, and that means a lot to me. I certainly do my best to earn, positive aspects of my own character and actions. You know, it's all about humility and making sure that we are building upon whatever positives we can and doing what we can to get assets for our communities. And about the question about disability, I think it was representation, correct?
Yes.
That's also a big question because you have to consider, A, do we have decent representation of different communities, not just disability communities, but there's intersectionality to consider. Communities of color, who have disabilities, women who have disabilities, Hispanic people, and, Muslim Americans, anyone who has a disability, can also represent other communities. Furthermore, and this is my next point, we have to look very carefully when we see a candidate run, whatever their identity might be, what is their character like, and what is their platform like. You could have a person with a disability running to represent their jurisdiction, and they may have a platform which is harmful to people with disabilities or to people in general. So you have to be very careful with identity politics in locating candidates and activists who not only represent different communities but have positions on the issues that will actually make a real positive difference. That being said, I look at people like Senator Duckworth in Illinois, like Public Advocate Williams in New York City, people who represent, whether it's, the veteran, Asian American disability community, or with Jumaane Williams, you have the not only disability community, but the black community as well. So there's a lot of intersectionality to consider. There's platforming to consider. And with that in mind, I absolutely encourage people with disabilities to run for office, to campaign, to volunteer. I don't remember her name. I'm kicking myself now for it. But there was a woman not too much older than I am, maybe a couple years older than me, in Pennsylvania. She is an LGBT person with autism who won her race for the Pennsylvania House of Representatives or Assembly. I forget which they have over there.
Right. But and the good thing is that people do conquer their disabilities, and they work because they work hard at it. And there's so many others that are very unapologetic when a candidate is running for office and they stutter or they stammer or they stumble. And I think we, all of us human beings, it's our responsibility to say to those people, cut it out. If someone has a disability and they want to run for office, get to know the person before you start, saying something if they stumble a little bit. So, Asher, what do you see in the future for future Democratic nominees? What do you hope to see from them when it comes to disability rights? Because this morning I know there was some announcement made about the LGBTQ community and transgender people in the military and all that. And so, I mean, everybody wants to wake up and they want to live their life and they want to pursue happiness. And this word liberty that people throw around, everyone wants to be free to enjoy their existence in the human form that they are. So what do you see in the future? We have 2 minutes for you to tell me, you know, what do you think future Democratic nominees should be doing?
Practicing intersectionality with their respective activism. I definitely am giddy at the thought of people with disabilities running for Senate, governor, local offices, president. I think that's a wonderful prospect, and I'm eager to see it. I myself am a candidate for school board in Bennington County. If your viewers want, they can look on Facebook. Asher Edelson for school board is my Facebook page. If they want to follow that. That being said, for nominees for, you know, president and all these higher offices, intersectionality is key. We want disability rights to be on the forefront, right there with improving the lives and livelihoods of communities of color and the people who live in those communities, Hispanic communities, LGBT communities as well. I saw the news about President Biden reversing the ban on trans people serving in our military. I think that's fantastic news and a step, of course, back in the right direction. So, ultimately, I would like to see more representation that has an intersectional approach to platforming, meaning, yes, disability justice is important. We also need to pay attention to issues like foreign policy, national security, health care, immigration, you know, other civil liberties. There's so many important issues to discuss, and I am just so happy that we have someone like Joe Biden and many other people who are really serious about not just making disability issues the forefront or bringing them forward. It's also about saying the word disability and not being afraid to say it. That is so important, not only for activists, but for anyone who wants to connect better with the disability community.
Right. And the thing is, you know, we all know of somebody in our family, a child, a neighbor, you know, a child in our own family, maybe a neighbor's child, maybe someone, a co-worker's child. What would you say to the young children? Paul is going to give you 3 more minutes because we really like having shows like this where you tell our audience what you're doing to make the lives of other human beings better, right? And so he's giving you 3 more minutes. But what would you tell a child? Like, we know President Biden took a young boy aside and talked to him about his stutter. What do you tell young children who feel, you know, like they don't have hope and they're just like the despair is there that, oh, I have this disability and people are making fun of me? What would you say to them?
Well, context does matter. I would say generally, keep your eye on the prize. Be kind to yourself and others. You know, we really need to have a national conversation about compassion. That's true. Additionally, I would say do not let your disability hold you back. If you have any other, you know, prospects about what you want to do, if you believe in politics, if you want to be a scientist, if you want to be an athlete, whatever it is you want to do, the list goes on. Go for it. There is no reason being disabled or differently abled, whatever you want to call it, should hold you back. Because if you have ambition, never, ever, the adversity or the adversity that might come from external sources keep you back from doing so. Because look, when I was a child, I had executive dysfunction, you know, through the roof. My goodness, my parents were, I'm sure they were worried about me. Now here I am. And it wasn't an overnight thing. I didn't just look in the mirror and say, oh, disability rights, awesome, yay. No, it wasn't that easy. So there's no need to whitewash it and think that it's just going to be an overnight fix if you're having trouble with whether it's self-confidence, or simply getting to your goal. Keep up the effort, accept help from people who are helpful and decent, and
educate people like we're doing. Well, Asher Edelson, thank you so much for taking the time to call in today on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We do have to run our sponsors now, and hold on. Samantha is going to take it away. Thank you so much.
And this is Samantha. We'll be right back after these messages.
With Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a robust first segment we had with Asher Edelson. Made us all tear up because we're mothers.
Yes.
We understand that you give birth to your children, but you don't know what's in store for them. And whatever comes our way, we have to deal with it the best way we can. And a lot of us don't have that education when a child is born So what's going to happen to our kids?
And
so,
you learn. He made me an advocate.
We learn. We all learn.
He made me learn to fight for him.
Right, right. And so our second segment is with our good friend, Dr. Amasita Maloon Gibson. And she's here. And you know, I always say, when you say MGAA, I always think MAGA. But man, I always say Dr. Amasita Maloon Gibson. Yeah, you're right, an associate. But I don't know why it says when you see the MG, you know, you're so used to seeing, right? Right. And our show is fun and it's unscripted. It's very informative and it's, you know, we give out valuable information. And so for our listeners who are tuning in today, Dr. Gibson has changed my life in a lot of ways. One of the things that she talks about oftentimes is her faith and how it helped guide her. It's her guiding light to being a coach when she's a veteran, how she empowers other people. And I'll let her share her strategies of leadership and other things with you all. So take it away. Tell us more about yourself.
The rainy day.
Right.
Eviction, the economic suppression. So what I'm going to try to do today is just share some of the strategies that I use with some of the clients that I've had in the past. And I would like to say that the first thing that we all have to do is to change our mindset when we're dealing with that. Change that mindset as, it's not going to happen to me. It won't happen now. I don't want to have another plan. I want to have just an A plan. I hear a lot of folks say that, and that has impacted a lot of small businesses everywhere because they didn't have that backup plan, as I call it. So changing your mindset that it's not going to happen, my plan will succeed, my family and my friends on my backup plan. Well, your family and a friend, sometimes they have problems, so they may not bail you out as well.
Yeah, sometimes your family and friends have bread and butter issues.
Exactly.
They're struggling to get that piece of bread and butter right on that kitchen table.
They're struggling and they can't help you, and sometimes you can't help them even if you want to help them. And then the biggest thing is your pride. You won't ask for help. A lot of people, I don't want them to know I'm going out of business.
I don't want them to know my business.
Yeah, I don't want them to know my business is a secret.
But sometimes that one person you could have opened up to might have been your saving grace.
Exactly.
Not everybody is going to backstab you.
Yeah.
Some people have a good heart.
And not everybody is going to put that knife in your back. So that's the first thing. We must change our mindset and get that pride out of the way. You know, sometimes pride really is the biggest hindrance that we'll have, especially small business owners. You know, when you're successful, you don't want anyone to know you fail. But sometimes our failures are stepping stones to help others. So don't just share your successes. You have to share your failures as well, because the failures sometimes will help somebody else to move forward. Secondly, you want to be consistent, like Sita. Sita is consistent. Every Monday she's here at the radio station. You know, when I have time, I listen to her. And she's been doing this for years and years. I always want to thank you for the opportunity, for what you do for our community. You do so much in the community. But one thing about Sita, she is consistent. If she has to be here by herself, she's going to be here by herself. So consistent.
Thank you.
Yeah, consistency is what matters. And consistency is a key to moving forward in 2021. So when we say consistency, also communication. You have to communicate with your tribe, with your clients, you know, keep them engaged. I try to do that on a daily basis, not every day, but I try at least 3 or 4 times a week to engage those people that follow me on social media. And I have a email group
that of clients that I've had business with, done business with. It's not a whole lot. It's not 10,000. And I engage them once a month during COVID. Send them a newsletter. Send them something that you're doing. Call them and leave a memo. Or even just send them your portfolio, updated portfolio. So we want to communicate with our tribe. We want to be consistent. And then we want to help by encouraging and empowering other people. Simple things to empower them. And not only empowering them, you want to listen to what your clients, and believe it or not, just from what some of your social media clients or tribes post, you could feel sometimes what they need, how you can help them. And so...
And trust.
Trust is a big thing.
I think when you post stuff on social media... Social media reflects who you are as a human being.
Exactly.
And people can tell if it's coming from your heart or you're just writing it because you want attention.
Exactly.
I'll put something about my peas and I get a lot of attention about my peas. Because people know I've been watching those peas for 9 months who follow me on social media.
I watch them.
Yes.
Too. We'll get some
and
of
you're
going
to you're going to get some of the peas.
Yes.
So, but you're right. I think social media, you have to engage not only politically with your tribe, but emotionally, socially, physically. Do something to make them feel like you're using them just for a like or a comment.
And you know, too, everybody thinks you have to show skin.
You don't.
You know,
absolutely not.
Look at our first lady forever. She had an
Regal,
outfit that
Regal.
She wore. Classic. Ladylike. And I saw it somewhere on Facebook where it says you only saw her eyes because everything else was covered up. She had her mouth covered, but she saw from her eyes up.
She leads by example.
Yes,
Mish.
Exactly.
I like to say it's Mish.
Yes.
That's what President Obama calls her, Mish.
Yes. Okay, so we said the strategies were change your mindset, consistency matters. Now the third one is get accountability partners who are sincere, like you just said, Sita, and truthful to you. Sometimes people just want to hear the good about themselves, but they don't want to hear those things that are broken in their lives, right? So you have to get somebody, you know, and I have about three accountability people that I know will tell me the truth. And
My daughters.
Yeah, oh,
they
my daughter.
Tell us the truth.
I think that's me and everybody's
yeah,
life.
Yeah.
Children
my,
will.
Yeah, good. Yeah, children are the best source of the
yeah,
truth. They
yeah,
tell
my,
it like it
my,
is.
My daughter and my son sometimes, but my daughter, she's very robust, and she will tell me, Mommy, that's not you, you know? She'll say something, or she'll say, can you try this? You know, she told me something yesterday, and I did take it into action. So, but get some accountability partners that will tell you the truth and that you can trust and that it's sincere. Okay, the fourth thing I would have is collaboration and partnerships. Now, when I say partnerships, Sita and I, we partner with each other for years now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say partnerships, I'm talking about when you talk about a paid partnership, you want to have a contract with that because if you and someone went into business together and the one person want to buy out right away and you don't want to buy out, then, you know, it's all going to be on you. So you have to, when you do have partnerships, identify.
Make it legit.
Yeah, and identify that, you know, not everything is free. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. We want to give stuff away, but not everything is free. I used to tell people, you know, I said my kids got to eat too. You know, they're all independent now. But you can't expect that, okay, you have to do everything for free. You know, you give a lot. You want to be a giver. And I know all of us in here are givers in this room. We give big to the community. So change your mindset, number one. Consistency matters, number two. Get accountability partners and collaborations and partnerships. The next step will be to build your contact list. Now, I tell people, you know, some of my constituents and some of my friends will say, oh, you have 5,000 followers here and you have people following you on Twitter and all the social medias. I say, yes, and that's great. But if I had a dollar for each of them, that would be wonderful, right, Sita?
That's right. Yeah, it would be even greater.
Yeah, great. you would be a multimillionaire. Yeah. Multimillionaire. Yeah, so build your contact list. Keep your clients informed, especially if you shut down. I think I said that already. Because those clients, like my contracts that I had for last year, several of them said, no, we're going to go that way, but they're going to go another way, which is they're keeping me on the list. And then the others have pushed it back for the same time this year, even during the COVID. So keep them informed as what's going on. And if you want to stay hired, you need to keep your clients, your paid clients informed. Okay, so the next I would say is help those who want to be helped. Now, your services and your gifts is not for everybody. You know, people will say, oh, well, can I pick your brain? I'm tired of you picking my brain. It's time to get a consultant with me.
Pay up for the brain picking.
Yes, sign
up.
Wow,
I'd be rich on that one.
Like you say, it's not for free.
Stop picking my brain. Sign up and invest in yourself. That's what I say.
That's when you say you have to learn to say no.
I got that. That's coming up. That's on my Facebook page today.
That's hard
you know,
for me.
Learn how to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do say no,
save your conviction.
Yeah. No, when you say no, recommend somebody to them.
Yes.
You know? And
yes.
Then, you know, they'll come back to you because they'll see that you were more cost effective than that person. I'm not saying to devalue yourself, but if we are going to add value to folks, you know, we got to get
where were you when I was 18? You give like the best advice.
Look,
I'm like so happy. I'm so like comforted to know you.
Yeah, well,
because you do teach and you teach from the heart and it shows when you talk to us. It's here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I, Paul did say we have to say our dial sometime.
Yes.
We are on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, FM 100.7. And we're heard on the World Wide Web at WWBC. But for our listeners who are tuning in, when Dr. Amasita Maloon Gibson speaks, it's from her heart because it's radiating to her face because she wants us to learn something and take it out into the community and share it. Thank you.
And that's the truth. I don't share stuff that, you know, when I share it, I have already experienced it. I've already done it. And I like to say I'm results driven. So I have seen the results from it. I am in that stage now where I tell people I'm in the giving back mode because, you know, I'm retired twice, but I still have something going. You have to have something going to sustain yourself through COVID and other natural
disasters. Keep you busy. Keep your mind busy.
Keep you busy. Keep you young. You know, I just had a birthday. You know that, Sita.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise God. I thank God for that. So, you know, help those that want to be helped. Your service and your gifts and talents is not for everyone. Help those that want to be helped and move on. Because don't bombard me with emails every single day. You have me in your email list 4 times. Well, I'm going to delete 3 of them if I want to stay in contact with you. But don't bombard your clients with emails or don't bombard them with videos or don't bombard them with even social media. And I do that sometimes, but when I say that, don't give them a whole bunch of stuff they have to read because all of us just have limited time, you know, and your time.
Those of us over 50 something.
Yeah, over 60 something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, our time is valuable and their time is valuable as well. So, don't send all these correspondence out and expect me to read them in one day because I can't. But just be mindful that everybody's time is valuable and everyone has something of value to share. But sometimes, the value that you're trying to share with me is not the value that I need for right now. You know, in the here and now, during this COVID season, it might be wonderful, but it does not fit my brand. You know, so be mindful of that.
Yeah, like don't come and tell me about upgrading a new car when my husband just lost his job.
Exactly.
Oh, don't come and tell me about how you need to get, you know, medication for something.
But you just did your nails.
But you had no insurance. You lost your insurance.
Exactly.
Well, don't show me you had pretty nails, but then say to me, can you buy a gift for my kid for Christmas?
Exactly.
It's not going to fly.
Exactly.
It's not going to fly.
Financial responsibility.
Exactly. She taught me that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and we give a lot. I know Sita really gave a whole lot, especially over the holiday season,
mm-hmm.
you know, helping the children that are...
That's fortunate.
Yeah, their parents are in prison. We get toys and toys for tots also, supporting those types of community actions and other local organizations.
But you said something to me for Christmas about that, and I thought it was so powerful. We were speaking about how I was getting involved with giving gifts to the children whose parents overdosed and passed away.
Right.
And you said sometimes you go to the same places and you see the same mothers and the same children all the time. Like
they rotate.
Right. You were saying that they go from place, and you're right, I've seen that too.
Yes. Yeah, and some people, you know, there's always a few that will take advantage of the situation, you know. You'll go from here, A to Z, to all the places that's giving out toys or whatever, and maybe they do need those many toys, I don't think so, but if you take advantage of anything, you know, karma comes around, you know.
Yeah, everything in moderation.
Yeah,
I remember a time in the recession after I lost my home, I had a need for that particular Christmas, and Ascension Catholic was absolutely amazing with us, and after that, I said, if I can buy you one gift, then I don't need to go to these other places. But there are people that even though they can,
right,
they'll year after year sign up when you have a job. You don't need these things. Leave them for someone that really needs them.
That's what she's talking about.
And, you know, giving is always a part mm-hmm. of living. You know, I'm a part of the Missionary Society and a steward in my church at Mount Moriah AME COCO. I'm giving them a shout out. I hope they're listening. And our church, even though it's COVID season, we have participated in stuff in the community on a consistent basis. And I thank the leadership for that, you know. The people that are there, myself, our pastor and his wife, Reverend Odell Watson, we thank him for just being the leader that stimulates us to do more. Okay, so let's back on up here. The next step will be identify what problems, aspirations, and challenges need to be addressed. When you get a client, before you take the client on, we need to do an assessment with that client to make sure that it's a match. And sometimes that client, they believe they need you to solve that problem or to help them with their aspiration of what they want to become, but you're not the right fit for them. So just don't tell them you're not the right fit, but tell them based on your assessment, I'll recommend you to go and see Cedar or someone else. You make a recommendation. And then you need to look at your programs that you have. Does your program meet the needs for when you get a client, for the client to thrive? Yeah, for the client to thrive. Does your program meet the needs? Because if your program doesn't meet the needs, it's no need of stringing along a client just because you want to get
their
money.
That's being dishonest.
Your integrity is going to be questioned there. So you don't want to do that to an individual. So refer them to somebody else that can service them at that time. And what's a guest that we had? I forgot his name. I can't say his name, Cedar, that we just had
Asher.
On. Yes, I wanted to tell him don't allow others to keep, I wrote it down, don't allow others' opinion to keep him from growing and be confident in himself. And he was very confident today, you know, and he has very great aspirations. And I hope you're listening, Asha, because you need to continue on. I know about Tourette. I used to be a nurse over 40 years ago. I was a nurse like Cedar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I switched to engineering. Not by choice at that time, you know, but because my military background took me there and I became very successful in that area. So I thank God for that. And we have to look at people that want to, I say the three Ds, they want to derail us, they want to depress us, and they want to distract you. When you are thriving, you have to look for these three Ds.
Say those three Ds again. Derail.
Derailment,
mm-hmm.
depression
and determined.
And distraction. They would bring in that negativity. If on my Facebook page I see anything that's negative, I either delete it.
You know what they call that back in Trinidad?
Uh-huh.
Don't be a crab in a barrel.
Yeah, crab in a barrel. Yeah.
Because every time one crab tried to come out, there's a few pulling him down. And sadly, you find that in your family circle.
Yeah.
You find it in your friend circle.
Uh-huh.
You find it in your neighbors. And you find it in groups that you spend money to be a member of. And I know you and I have talked about that before. And that shouldn't be like that.
It should be
if you invite someone into your group. I'm excited to share things with people.
Right.
But I've learned through time that a lot of people don't want you to share good stuff.
No, right. Misery likes company.
I like to tell them, if you don't like my shine, put on your shades.
Ooh,
okay?
Girl,
ooh, I like that. I'm going to use that one.
But you know, I was going to tell you, you talked a little bit, Earl, to back up about the pastor of your church.
Uh-huh.
And I read something on Facebook this morning. It says, a boss has a title,
uh-huh,
but a leader has the people at heart.
Right, exactly.
And your pastor of your church sounds like somebody like that.
Yes, he does.
Because a person who leads,
mm-hmm,
has good thoughts,
right,
good words,
good
and
intentions,
great actions.
Right.
And boy, do we learn from our mistakes.
Yes,
and we put it into action, right?
We do.
Some people don't learn, though.
Yeah.
They like making those mistakes over and over again because they get a kick out of being
Isn't that the definition of insanity?
Yeah.
Do the same thing and expect a different
result.
Yep.
But so talk a little bit about derail, depress, and distract.
Okay.
How does a person get away from someone who does that?
You just delete.
I like that. The 3 D's equals the ultimate D.
Now you just added another D.
Yeah, just delete.
Well, the 3 D's equal the ultimate D. Delete.
Yeah, yeah. Just delete. You know, a lot of like you said, misery likes company. You know, so. When they derail you, you'll ask them a question. And, you know, whether it's friends or families or strangers, they see you doing good. They'll plan something at the same time you have it, or they'll try to discourage you from doing something. Or they'll
discourage.
Sow doubt in yourself.
Well,
yes.
And it makes you feel terrible because then you question your own intentions. Like, what am I doing wrong here?
Yeah, but
I mean...
But when you have, you know, my last project I did, the book, when you have confidence and courage, they can't derail you that easy. They can make you depressed. And then you, like Sita just said, you know, you start thinking about, am I enough?
Yeah.
I want to let everybody that's out there to know that you're more than enough if you're doing what God has called you to do or what your vision is. If you feel like you, if you did one step A and step B and that's completed and you feel that's enough, it's enough for you. But if I say I want step A to Z, don't try to derail me or distract me or don't tell me I'm too young.
Or discourage.
I'm discouraged.
I've had people say to me, you talk too much about your faith. I'm like, well, that's just too damn bad.
Yeah.
Because when I wake up every day, my Hindu deity, Lord Krishna, just like my Christian friends love Jesus,
right,
he's right here on my shoulder. Sometimes he moved to this shoulder.
Right.
But guess what? He protects me all day long.
Yeah,
that's right.
And you've taught me a lot, Dr. Gibson, about faith and family,
yeah,
and food and forgiveness and financial literacy.
Yes.
And if you have, I know we have 4 minutes left.
Okay.
I really wanted you to talk a little bit about, because you're a woman of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you say to people who say to you, don't talk about your faith?
Well, if they don't talk, when I go to speak, sometimes I tell them that they want me to speak. They may hear a little bit about Jesus. And if you don't want to hear that, then I don't have to go. Sometimes we don't, you know, every door that's open, you don't have to walk in it. But there are other windows that you can climb through, you know, step your way up. So I really don't...
Engage
in that type of conversation. And I don't really, you know, we are all ambassadors for Christ, where as I see it in my faith, we are ambassadors for Christ, we are missionaries and so forth. But if you are, I'm using you as an example, if you're a Hindu and you have your Hindu faith and I'm Christian and we have Jewish and we have, you know,
Muslims.
Even Muslims, yeah. Atheists, everybody have their own lane, and I'm not going to discourage them. I studied a long time ago religions of the world.
It's like the Pope said, it all leads to the same guy.
Yes. And so, you know, you go with what you know, and I go with what I know. And I don't try to force my religion on anyone. But if you ask me, you better sit down, because you're gonna get a whole lot.
Yeah.
And let me just wrap this up here with a few more and a recap. Okay, let's go back and recap real quick. The first thing you have to do is change your mindset. Secondly, be consistent. Third, get an accountability partner. 4, collaborate. 5, build your contact list. 6, help those that want to be helped. 7, identify the problem and the aspiration, and then do an assessment, see if that's what you need to, what needs to be done. Share your stories, your failures and your successes, and the methodology that you use. And inspire, lead, grow. Inspire, lead, grow, and educate. That's my brand. Inspire, lead, grow.
And we need your website at this point, or your phone number, if somebody wants to get a hold of you.
Yeah, if you want to get a hold of me, inspireleadgrow.com, or go to, you can Google johnmaxwellgroup.com/AmacetaMaloonGibson. But I'm on all social medias as Amacita Maloon Gibson, Dr. Amacita Maloon Gibson. You could Google me and you'll find all the contact information that you need.
And your books on Amazon.
And the books are at my website. And one is on Amazon. That's Growing and Empowering Future Leaders Now.
All the steps to thrive in a pandemic. You covered it all.
Yes.
So for our Dale listeners who tuned in today to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, tune in next week. We will have another great show. Thank you to Asha Edelson for calling in. Thank you, Samantha, for co-hosting.
Always
and
a pleasure.
Dr. Amacita Maloon Gibson. Man, you are inspiring. I love you, sister.
I love you.
Thank
more.
You so
and
much.
Thank you, Sita, for having this voice in our community and sharing this gift with us.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. Sweet.